This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Melissa Hammer. And it's Harvest Hotline time. Harvest Hotline's brought to you by Amity Technology, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the North Dakota Mill. American Crystal General Agronomist Joe Hastings says American Crystal sugar beet harvest is in its final days, with growers leaving about 3% of their max planting tolerance in the fields.
I know 90% of the crops come in. We did make a call yesterday on how much we can take, so we've got a nice crop coming. We're going to leave a little bit of acres out in the field, but growers are able to harvest up to 80% of their stock. Preferred shares right now, so that's the final word, and we're going to wrap up. I know we were shut down a bit for heat yesterday. There's some rain in the forecast. Today we'll see what happens there. We should be, we're knocking on the door of having this thing wrapped up.
Crystal's looking at another record sugar beet crop.
You know, we're in that, I'd say around 32.4-ish, somewhere near 32.4, somewhere, you know, that's what we're thinking right now. That mid-32s. Sugar content's just looking phenomenal. We're looking at our dailies here. We're at, in the 19s right now. So it's been a nice, you know, with this dry weather, it's... that concentration of sugar has really been high in the sugar beets.
Last year, Crystal growers left 8% of their planted acres in the field.
Jamestown, North Dakota farmer Doug Reimers is all finished up with soybean harvest.
We just wrapped up soybeans a couple days ago. We were very happy with the yield. A little bit better than average for us. After all the drowned out we had from the early summer, late spring, still came out quite happy. The dry down happened very fast. Beans went from 14 moisture to 8.5, 9, which is definitely not ideal, but we had a very good harvest all said and done with soybeans.
Corn yields looking good so far.
Just started corn a couple days ago, and so far very happy with the yields and the test weight. The heavy winds and hot, dry days really took the moisture down, though. Most of the corn that we've combined so far has been between 14 and 15 and a half moisture. So that was the early season 86 day.
In the Washburn, North Dakota area, Clark Price says corn yields were brought down by some untimely winds.
You know, corn harvest is kind of full swing. There's some guys that are finishing up and some guys that are, you know, still working at it. But it's, all in all, it's been a pretty good harvest. That wind that came through about 2.5 weeks ago or so now really caused some havoc on some of the corn that was a little more mature and drier. You know, that some of that stuff was affected pretty harshly between falling over a little bit and losing some ears. But all in all, the corn crop was pretty decent. Soybeans were real good, and the soybeans in the area were surprising, I think, to everybody. They were good. That was a good crop.
Some of the fields made it through the wind just fine.
There's a wide range of yields, just depending on, like I said, so what damage that wind had done. You know, there's some really good corn, and I mean, for us, 140 is kind of APH, and if you got better than that, you know, that was some stuff that you maybe got before the wind and had some good moisture, and I've heard stuff down as far as 100, so... But all in all, average-wise, I think it's been a pretty good, you know, probably a pretty average APH-type crop. But it's dry in the field. We haven't had any rain here for, a month and a half maybe. So we're really dry, and that really dried our corn down with the heat that we had through September and early October. So,
Fullerton, North Dakota farmer Chad Almer is in the middle of corn harvest after finishing up with the soybeans.
We're working on corn right now. We're probably about halfway done, I guess, with that. The yields are exceptional in corn. Corn's pretty dry. Sounds like everyone's really satisfied with their yields, how they're coming off the field. As far as the corn goes, it sounded like the beans for the most part ended up right around that average yield for a lot of guys. Too many drown out spots in the soybeans where the corn was able to hold on and fight the excess moisture, and obviously it really enjoyed the late season heat where the beans struggled with that late season heat. We needed one more shot of rain on the beans the end of August there. Everyone kind of thought that the beans were made when we had that big rain in August, but it turned out that we did need one more.
After the corn, Ulmer says he'll be all done with harvest.
We'll get some fall fertilizing done, hopefully, when after the corn's off and the ground cools down a little bit, I guess. And probably get a little bit of tillage done if we're lucky enough to get some moisture here one of these days. Other than that, no, we'll try to get things wrapped up here in the next 10 days to 2 weeks and reassess everything as far as tillage goes then.
And that's Harvest Hotline. Again, Harvest Hotline brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill.
Scattered showers moved across North Dakota into the Red River Valley this morning. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Carl Jones says the worst has likely passed, but parts of eastern North Dakota could still see some rain throughout the day.
Rainfall has generally been in the tenth to three-tenths of an inch, mainly for portions of eastern North Dakota into the northern Red River Valley. Rain is still continuing to fall as a front moves to the east throughout the day and bringing some cooler temperatures and then the rainfall behind it. And as this front continues to move east, we should see the majority of the Red River Valley and even into portions of northwest and west central Minnesota see those rain chances as well. Some people might get lucky enough to see close to half an inch, but that'll be probably more localized.
Temperatures expected to climb over the weekend.
For the weekend, we actually get back into a warming trend yet again. Well, I guess we'll have to get through tonight. Tonight will be a little more typical. Some spots could see some temperatures near freezing, particularly those in North Dakota. But yes, we are expecting warmer temperatures, particularly on Sunday and even into Monday, where 70s will be likely for most. And even on Monday, some locations could get close to 80 degrees.
Many areas from the eastern Dakotas to northwestern Wisconsin are expected to receive up to 3/10 of an inch of rain today, while most other areas remaining dry. World Weather Incorporated says the Midwest has a 60% chance of rain next week, with the northwestern Corn Belt remaining the driest. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms will be occurring across most of Brazil as the monsoon season ramps up. Far southern and far northern Brazil will be a little drier, but they were wetter earlier this season. World Weather Incorporated says most areas of Brazil will receive 1 to 2 inches of rain through Saturday, with another 1 to 2 inches expected by next Friday. World Weather says much of Argentina currently remains dry, with only one chance of rain expected during the next 2 weeks. Nearly widespread rains of 1 to 3 inches are expected across Argentina Sunday evening into Wednesday.
Winter may be coming, but warm weather is still here. And according to NDSU Extension soil science specialist Brady Gettle, farmers should be delaying their fall nitrogen applications until soil temperatures cool down for good.
I've been getting a lot of questions from farmers and consultants about the best approach to applying fall, and especially in the warm weather we have forecasted over the next week. And really my best recommendation for making sure that N stays available and is economically going to make an impact next year is to just hold off on that application. So after this warm spell goes through and once soil temperatures start to drop below that 50 degree threshold in the morning, then we can start confidently applying anhydrous ammonia. For those folks that are looking at doing banded urea applications, we should delay that about a week after we reach those consistent 50 degree temperatures, and then broadcast urea another week after that.
And Gettle says the best way to avoid N loss and economic hit is by waiting for those cooler temperatures.
Although our research has shown that nitropyrin additives can have positive results inhibiting nitrification in ammonia, and to a lesser extent DCD in urea, neither of these projects can really compensate for these warm soil temperatures. So even if they're used, you can think of it as an insurance policy against nitrification if those soil temperatures are cool, but they really can't compensate for these warm temperatures we still have. In general, the best option to decrease our N loss and improve economic returns of the N is going to be to delay that application.
A majority of fertilizer prices are lower than in recent years. North Dakota State University agricultural finance specialist Brian Parman says nitrogen products are on an overall downward trend.
Fertilizer prices are typically the lowest in a calendar year in the fall. While it's tough to make planting decisions early, you can save quite a bit of money on that. So 2022 was the peak for pretty much all of the major fertilizer products that we use. Since that time, it's really been a downward trend coming into right now, where all four major nitrogen products, which includes the liquids UAN's 28 and 32, anhydrous gas, of course, and then urea, they're basically all down 50% across the board from where they were, the spring of 2022.
Some fertilizers have not had as much price decrease.
As far as phosphorus and phosphate fertilizers, there's kind of been a floor built into those, and they haven't come down in the similar fashion to the nitrogen fertilizers. And a big reason for that has been the tariffs. That raises the phosphorus price coming into the United States significantly, and it increases the amount that domestic producers are able to charge. And then potash prices, again, similar story, down now to almost $450 a ton, and the lowest that it's been, again, since 2021.
Fall cattle runs starting to pick up across the region. Mobridge Livestock co-owner Casey Perman says the cattle coming in the barn are really good quality.
Yeah, we had 6,200 head, a market we definitely called higher from the past few weeks. Just a lot of good quality running throughout the day. I think we're seeing some younger calves, people bumping their calving back a little bit to later dates and still selling at a normal time this year, just because we're running into some drier, dustier weather, and they're just kind of wanting to get them off some cows, get them cow shape back up for winter. But I think we're seeing a few more lighter calves than normal, but we did just have high quality throughout the day and just on a really excellent market, very aggressive, and a lot of buyers on hand.
Go to Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Ariana Schumacher. Ariana, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
Yeah, so this week in the Ag Week cover story, we meet the FFA Ag Issues team from Beersford, South Dakota, who are on their way to the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis this year. For their project, they're taking a look at eminent domain and analyzing the pros and the cons side of the issue. It's a topic that really hits close to home for these students as they discuss issues like the Lewis and Clark Water Tower that was put up in their hometown. They talk about the Veterans Parkway project in South Dakota and how that expansion is going to use eminent domain. And then last but not least, they also talk about how the CO2 pipeline is just bringing up those issues of eminent domain here in South Dakota. For their project, they are each assigned a different character in a skit, and they had to analyze what their character would think of eminent domain. So you had things like a homeowner, you had some students that were playing the CO2 pipeline manager, and they just analyze all the topics around this issue and how they would go about approaching it in a debate-like setting. They won the state contest in December, and now they're headed to the national convention.
Sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
December wheat Minneapolis is down 12.5 cents to 6.16 1/4. December wheat Chicago 17.5 cents lower to 5.72 even. Kansas City's December hard red winter wheat is 14.25 cents down to 5.81 3/4. December corn down 1.5 cents, 4.05 1/2. Looking at soybeans, November soybeans 17.75 cents lower, 9.71 even. January 14.75 down to 9.83 1/2. In Winnipeg, November canola is up $1.10 per metric ton, 6.1440 Canadian. On the cattle side, December live cattle is $1.17 higher, 187.35. February $1.17 higher as well. April live cattle up $1.22. November feeders up $2.05, 247.80. January feeders 260 higher, 245.72. March feeders up $2.45 at $244.90. Lean hogs December is up 22 cents, $77.90. February is up 42 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.